The following hour is brought to you by MidasResources.com, your trusted source for precious metals since 1996. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
We have been thoroughly impressed with this family, the dignity that they have shown, the courage that they have shown, and I think we ought to show them some love for Amen.
That's Pastor Mike Jones, and he's talking about the family of Michael Brown. There was no eruption, pretty peaceful in Ferguson, Missouri. Close to 5,000 people on hand for Michael Brown, the 18-year-old who was shot and killed on August 9th by a police officer, showed up for his funeral. So it's pretty interesting. Al Sharpton actually delivered one of the eulogies and said that they didn't want to remember Michael Brown as a symbol that caused rioting and looting and tearing up property. So the good news is that Ferguson seems to have calmed and is kind of getting back to normal, because the grand jury situation, they're just in the beginning stages of hearing evidence, and they have to decide if there's enough to push forward, which that probably doesn't come down until October anyway. And there's still, I think, more details to come out through investigations and that kind of stuff, and yet another autopsy. In the meantime, the word is that there is a task force black, is being reported by several news sources, including the Mirror, saying that the United States is preparing for a couple of different options, and one of them is for U.S. special forces to hook up with the elite British forces of their own, and they formed this task force black. The elimination of the Islamic State is what the purpose is. So you've got, think about it, surveillance flights, you know, these targeted hits, these airstrikes were limiting, and there wasn't supposedly any decision that had been made to expand beyond those airstrikes. But would it shock you if there are behind-the-scenes plans for this task force black to go all in and do anything they can to knock off ISIS? The beheading of James Foley was way over the top. It shook too many people to the core, especially after the freelancer, the people that he was freelancing for, tried and spent millions to try to do anything to get him back. And we also sent in a force of guys, a task force that maybe they had bad information, whatever the intel was, but they couldn't rescue him and some others. And who knows, there's still another journalist that's in a terrible situation with these guys from Islamic State who continue to get stronger, continue to raise more money, and continue to push forward, beheading people in villages, forcing them to take up their way of life or else. And Christians and others are all feeling their wrath. So there has to be some kind of blowback, because you would think with all these threats to the West, we don't want to see it happen. But I believe the British, especially where a lot of the recruiting is happening, they're just as concerned as the United States. Let's hope some others throw in on this. Assad and Syria, they want help from the United States too as well. So the president is preparing military options, listening to what the options are against ISIS. What is the conclusion here, that they have to be stopped? And how is it that they could be stopped? To me, this is the water cooler buzz, because the concern is, if they're not, how serious is the threat and how concerned should we be? Coming up on this hour of the show, we're going to talk to Jeff Atticott, terrorism expert who's come on with us for years. He advises overseas, has talked to Congress and so many others about things that he has seen in terror groups and what he is seeing in the Middle East. He has an interesting way that he thinks could stop what is happening, or is at least the people to trust anyway. And plus a conversation with Tim Risen, who knew James Foley well. They went to college together. They went to journalism school together. And Tom had talked to Foley before he was kidnapped about he himself going into Syria as a journalist to uncover the stories, to tell the stories of what were happening there. And he shares what he knew about Foley and why he did the kind of risky job that he did, how important it was to him, what he was trying to do. Foley had a brother in the military. He talks about that. And Tom Risen is with U.S. World and News Report. So he adds a lot to the conversation because that's pretty close person, somebody who was in journalism school, knowing what he wanted to cover, knowing what he was doing, and actually getting advice from him on whether or not he should go to Syria because he really, really wanted to go. So those are two huge, huge things coming up on this Hour of America tonight. Also, we will definitely hit the mailbag. And if you want to mix in your calls, too, we can certainly do that. Just keep the number handy because we have guests in our next two segments, 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. When is enough enough? There is no more line in the sand. I think we're well beyond line in the sand. It's how do we cut this snake up and every part of this snake? So not a surprise about the surveillance. Forming a task force called, Task Force Black, I think is an interesting twist in this because this is what you would assume would happen, the sort of under the covers kind of operation that has to happen here. Something that can, somewhere where they can burrow in deep and really get to the leaders of Islamic State and really, really stop what is happening in the big land grab in the march to Baghdad, because it would be deadly if Baghdad goes. And there are many, many Americans that are still in Iraq, and it would be just absolutely disastrous for the United States if anything were to happen, to them. In the meantime, one quick other nugget just to throw at you. The Department of Veteran Affairs says investigators have found no proof in care causing the vets to die. Because remember, we were all outraged by that, what happened in Phoenix, that there were people that died because they weren't seen quickly enough. They're saying they don't have any proof that that happened. They know that there were problems in these VA offices, so they're not denying that, but they're saying they can't link it to it. Because remember, so many of us said, well, there should be criminal charges if you know you have a list of people that died. So that certainly lets the wind out of those allegations that exposed what is definitely not a great healthcare system, where veterans definitely still had to wait for appointments, and there were cover-ups with falsifying records and having two different lists, but they're saying there is no definitive proof that those veterans, when the word was that 40 veterans died while waiting, there was no proof that that happened. Wow. Does that change that scandal in your mind or not? Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Quantitative easing, unemployment at depression levels, Europe financial system falling apart, China getting out of U.S. treasuries. At the end of 2008, the time of TARP, the national debt was at $11 trillion, gold trading around $850 per ounce. Close to 2012, the national debt exceeded $16.4 trillion, gold doubled to $1,600 per ounce. The $20 trillion threshold for the national debt is inevitable. Politicians in Washington have a ferocious appetite for spending and stimulus. What's worse, a printing press to finance. 100 years ago, we had a gold standard to limit this madness, but now you have to adopt your own gold standard. Don't be fooled with paper promises. Get Midas Resources 10 Reasons to Buy Gold free by calling 800-686-2237. Understanding the gold and silver market may be the only insurance you could have to avoiding the next economic crisis. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order your free copy. Again, that's 800-686-2237.
I didn't believe it.
Neither did I.
No way could you professionally remove unwanted hair, pain-free, and at home.
My thoughts exactly.
Remove my face and body hair without expensive, painful office visits?
Not possible. Great minds think alike.
Until I tried No-No Pro.
Mm-hmm. Wait, you tried No-No?
Yes, and it works. I use it on my face, legs, bikini line.
We're BFFs, and you didn't tell me about No-No?
Here, this is my new No-No Pro. The most powerful No-No made. Custom treatment levels, less hair and less time, perfect for any skin type. Try it.
No hair, no pain, no time. Consuming expensive office visits?
No, no, and no, no.
For a limited time, you can try No-No Pro risk-free. You'll also get the facial kit and a travel case. Get weeks of long-lasting results.
That's it. I'm getting a No-No.
Great minds do think alike.
Try No-No Pro risk-free by calling 800-952-5760. 800-952-5760. That's 800-952-5760. 800-952-5760.
Tonight, Jeff Atticott, terrorism expert, joins us now. Boy, Jeff, since the last time we talked, there is so much going on. I think I wanted to start with what happened, obviously, with the Islamic State or ISIS, which whatever they're calling themselves today, and the beheading of James Foley after the freelance journalist, after he had been captured and had been kidnapped for 2 years, just so gruesome, and I think really drives home the point at how dangerous these people are. Don't you think so?
Well, they are, and they're dangerous, and they're rich. They have billions of dollars in their coffers, unlike Al-Qaeda. They're getting organized. They're taking some time. They have a lot of territory, of course, under their belt, and they're going to pose a serious threat unless something is done to blunt them very soon.
What do you think the U.S. should do to blunt them?
Well, it's going to have to be, you're going to have to support the Kurds. I mean, we're not going to get boots on the ground, so the Kurds are going to have to be the folks that are going to do our bidding for us. That's the only pivot point that we have, because from the air, we're not going to be able to do much. But if we can support the Kurds with everything that we possibly have, then that will prove beneficial, in my opinion.
How about the idea that Syria is saying, hey, we're ready to work with the U.S. We want to help out. We want to work with you. Hello, look what just happened with Syria. Do we have to cooperate and figure this whole thing out with them?
Well, that's the thing about Syria. Assad's a bad guy. Gaddafi's a bad guy. You know, there's a lot of bad guys out there. But when you set yourself up on your self-righteous horse and think you're going to replace them with something better in the Middle East, history is against you. It's not going to happen. And so this whole campaign to demonize Assad with the Arab Spring, which is all a fiction, exploded in the face of Barack Obama and all the other liberals that were, you know, holding hands and smelling the roses. You've got to be pragmatic. And Assad, of course, is anti-radical Islam. Whatever else he is, he's anti-radical Islam. And covertly, we probably should support him to some degree because these so-called freedom fighters have all been eliminated by Assad and other forces. And so that's not an option. But I would steer away from Assad. I would support the Kurds. The reason we haven't done it in the past is because everyone wants the Kurds to join back with Iraq. Iraq's never coming back together. The Shiites, the Sunnis, and the Kurds are never going to form back, in my opinion, into one national entity. So the sooner we recognize that self-determination, the Kurds want a national homeland, we should assist them in return for them helping us.
Yeah. So ISIS, the other thing that they're saying is, of course, that they want to go global and that, look out, there are a lot of people that are warning, if you don't think that this can happen in the United States, you're fooling yourself. What do you make of that?
It's all true because, you know, we don't have a lot of jihadists that are attacking using violence in this country. We have a lot of jihadists here, but what they look for is some type of of wind in their sails. And that's what they see with ISIS. They see that the radical Islamic extremist movement is on the move. It's growing. It's pushing the boundaries. And therefore, the recruits are coming from all over the world to join them because they see that victory is in their hands. So, you know, that's one of the dangers. We've had literally hundreds and hundreds of people from Europe, even from this country, that have traveled to the Middle East to join up with ISIS because they want to be on the winning team, and they're encouraging that pivot there in the Levant.
Yeah. All right, well, one other thing I want to ask you about Israel. So back and forth at the Gaza Strip, the human shield thing, the Palestinians versus the Israelis, another little mini ceasefire ripped up. Where are we heading, and what should the United States' role be in this?
Well, you know, what's disturbing to me is the Obama administration will not strongly take the side of Israel. Yes, you have collateral damage in any war, but the Israelis limit collateral damage. We have collateral damage in our combat in Afghanistan and Iraq. We understand that. But do a thought experiment. If the Arabs put down their guns, there would be peace tomorrow in the Middle East. If the Jews put down their guns, they would all be wiped out. And that's the bottom line, that the Israelis want peace. They are recognized as a nation. They're a member of the United Nations. They deserve the right to exist. And that's the starting point for Hamas, and Hamas will not accept that proposition, and therefore the only way to deal with them is through lawful violence.
Yeah. One last thing. Hamas and ISIS, you were talking about how much funding they have. ISIS is the worst, right, if you were going to rank terror groups?
Well, right now they are because they have billions of dollars. They have a lot of territory. They have more fighters, and they're being left alone. The Israelis aren't attacking them. We dropped a couple of pinpoint bombs, but that's meaningless. We have helped the Kurds, and that was a good strategy on the part of the administration. But no, they're pretty much enjoying and living off the fat of the land right now.
Wow. All right, Jeff Atticott, terrorism expert. He's the man behind St. Mary's down there in San Antonio. Thanks so much, as always. We'll talk to you again.
Thanks, Kate.
And as we were talking there with Jeff Atticott, of course, about the latest thing that's happening with ISIS, unbelievable. You heard him say there, as far as Assad is concerned, you know, which is the worst of the evils? And he's saying that the Kurds are really the people that we need to look toward if we are looking to recruit people to help us with getting rid of the Islamic State, which sounds so ridiculous because of how much funding they have in their tentacles. But we have to do something, and it's not boots on the ground, right? So that means recruiting other people to be part of this. ISIS is claiming responsibility for 3 suicide car bombs that killed 20 in Iraq over the weekend. And then, of course, Syria's foreign minister is saying his country is ready to accept whatever support from the U.S. and whatever else they can do, because they know that they have to wipe them out, that this is dangerous, obviously, to them. So this Islamic extremist group has a lot of people, the chess pieces in the Middle East, moving in, I think, much different directions because they've taken over large areas of Syria and Iraq. They've wrestled away some unbelievable parcels of land that you never thought they would get to. When they hit the Mosul Dam, that especially. And then this march toward Baghdad in Iraq is, of course, completely deadly. So now you have the claiming of the car bombs. So they're behind that. Whether, you know, wherever they grow and where how far they're going, they have been part of that group fighting in the Syrian conflict. So they already are there. So the Syrians know, Assad knows exactly what they're capable of, knows that they have to be wiped out or they're gone. And that's it. You look at oil fields, you look at main roads, you look at border crossings and these control areas, you look at the military hardware that they have, and it goes back to that funding again, the funding that they have, and what's it going to take to beat this group down? I mean, this is what some would call a credible alternative to Al-Qaeda. Hard to say. You look at the beheading of James Foley and the threat to the lives of other Americans, and specifically one other American. So then what is the response? What should the response be? I keep asking this question over and over again. But this sickening, twisted, awful execution that was recorded and released online for everybody to see, I think, is a very big warning that this is serious and they mean business. It's not over there. It's in our face. And they're putting it in our face. So the U.S. has to act and has to involve people already in the Middle East. I said this the other night on a show, and really, honestly, the Saudis have to get involved in this. How can the Saudis not be involved in this when, logically, they're right there? They're on the doorstep of who knows what will happen. And ignoring it, from their point of view, is just, I think, as deadly. So it's time to not waste time and time to act. And let's see if ultimately, which seems so strange when we think of what we were doing with Syria and Assad and pulling him out of the equation, it's just a matter of time, it feels like. And this is what many experts are saying. It's a matter of time before ISIS attacks the West. And where will you be? Where will I be when that happens? I mean, this is well beyond anything that we have seen in the past, other than, of course, what happened on 9/11, that horrific day. We don't want any of that. And I think that they really will stop at nothing. And there may be targeted attacks or whatever they could be coordinating. But if you look at what's happened in Iraq, if you look at what's happened in Syria, and then the more targeted strikes that we have, their reaction to that. And let's see what happens to this next journalist. Hopefully he is set free and we do not have another Foley situation, because that was just simply absolutely outrageous. All right, stay with us. Much more to come here on America Tonight.
Moms of America, stand up and stop taking abuse from your kids. I pledge never to let my kid disrespect me ever again.
I pledge to stop letting my daughter walk all over me.
I pledge to stop living in fear of my son's anger.
I pledge never to feel like a bad parent ever again. Because I'm not.
I pledge to stop letting my child's behavior control my home.
I pledge to be a mom with kids who listen. A total transformation mom.
I'm Janet Lehman, co-creator of the Total Transformation Program. We created the Total Transformation to help parents with difficult child behavior. Now, I'm giving it away free. All you need to do is get the program and let us know how it works for you. We'll let you keep it for free.
Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795. Call now. Call 1-800-256-7795. That's 1-800-256-7795.
UnseenNow.com, proud sponsor of GCN. Unseen Now's unparalleled encryption tools keep your communications secure. GCN.
Americans, prepare for financial ruin. That is what one of the world's richest men, Donald Trump, said just a few weeks ago. What are you doing to prepare? The problems that caused the last financial crisis were never fixed. In fact, they're even worse now. The total amount of debt in the U.S. has grown by more than 57% since September 2008. The too big to fail banks are much larger, and the massive derivatives bubble is spiraling so far out of control that the only thing left to do is watch the spectacular crash landing that is inevitably coming. If you're a baby boomer with retirement funds, it's time you consider exiting the Wall Street casino and start a cash-flowing international business of your own. There may be ways to preserve your wealth, but history has shown that few things can grow your wealth like having your own business. The crash is coming. Take measures now to soften the landing. Go to babyboomerbackupplan.com or call 888-507-8789. That's babyboomerbackupplan.com.
If you need to say happy birthday, happy anniversary, thank you, or simply, I'm thinking of you, ProFlowers.com is the key. ProFlowers has stunning bouquets, like the best-selling 100 blooms for $19.99. Plus, ProFlowers will include a glass vase for free. Sending someone a wonderful surprise of beautiful flowers sent fresh from the field is easy. Choose the bouquet you like, pick the delivery date, and each order is 100% guaranteed. Plus, all bouquets from ProFlowers are guaranteed to last at least 7 full days. Beautiful, fragrant flowers, picked fresh and sent to your loved one for lasting enjoyment. To get this incredible savings and send someone 100 gorgeous blooms with a free vase for $19.99, go to ProFlowers.com. Click the blue microphone in the top right corner and enter code PLOW. That's ProFlowers.com. Click the mic and enter code PLOW.
Does advertising on the Genesis Communications Radio Network actually bring positive results? Let's ask
Thomas Baldrick from Free Stride Guy.
Thomas, talk about customer service at GCN.
GCN is extraordinary in how they take care of their customers. The bottom line, Free Stride Guy keeps advertising on GCN because it works.
If you would like to experience unbelievable customer service, call Lee Wickenhauser at 877-996-4327, extension 107.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
America tonight with a lot of different people from all aspects of this, what happened to James Foley, just so barbaric and heinous to even attempt to watch that video whatsoever. And you think of the kidnapping and now what we've been talking about with ISIS and whatnot. It feels so personal to so many of us who did not know Jim Foley at all. Can you imagine if you knew him even somewhat, or you were really close to him or his family members, which we certainly have heard what they've had to say in the last week or so. Joining us now, Tom Risen, who knew Jim Foley, went to him for advice. Actually, he's with U.S. News and World Report. Of course, you can catch his stuff there. We've had him on before. Tom, thanks so much for coming back on America Tonight. We appreciate the time.
Thank you. Yes, I went to school with Jim Foley at Northwestern's Medill School of Journalism, and Jim was very, very proud to be a reporter. So a lot of my classmates and I have been feeling the loss, and we were really inspired by Jim. You know, people forget he was kidnapped and held prisoner by Muammar Gaddafi for 6 weeks in Libya and came home and went back to another war zone. So he really inspired a lot of us, and I had spoken with him after he'd gotten back from Libya, and I was freelancing at the time in 2012, and I really wanted to do something big. I was inspired by what he did in Libya, and I'd called him up, and I'd asked him for advice on how to go to Syria, because the civil war there was just the carnage, and I really wanted to go and cover it the way that he covered Libya. So that was the last time I'd spoken with him. We had talked on the phone a lot about that, and to see him after he'd gone there and was held prisoner for a couple of years, it was really just a hit to the chest just to hear about that. I mean, we had been still hoping that he would somehow be invincible and still come home. He'd done it before. He survived Gaddafi. I don't know. I was expecting him to somehow miraculously come home.
What was it about him? Was he just driven to expose things that were happening to people? What was it that drove him to do the kind of journalism that he did, do you think?
He had been a teacher for a while, and his brother was in the Air Force, so he had had some real life inspiration about how to make the people know how, you know, some of the realities of the world that he really wanted to bring home to people. So he changed careers in his late 30s, and he came to Medill, and that's where we met. And he, you know, so he was older than I was, but he wanted to be a reporter. He really wanted to help make people aware of how the world was changing all around us. So he was embedded with the National Guard in Indiana. You know, he went to Iraq with them. And after that, he went to Afghanistan, and then he went to Libya, and he had made this new career for himself as a photojournalist. It was really impressive. And he was just driven by showing people in the United States the realities of the Middle East. We don't know what happens there. He had a brother who was stationed in Iraq, and he didn't know. He had no idea what was going on over there. And he thought that we needed to see this with our own eyes, because a lot of we live a pretty nice life here. We don't have to worry about kidnapping. We don't have to worry about being hit by rockets. It's pretty nice here, and we really don't think about this a lot. And this past week, it's been almost a week since the video came up, and I'm thinking a lot about that, about how we are so comfortable, and Jim wanted us to wake up a little bit to just all of the harsh realities in the Middle East.
Yeah. And, you know, you talked about talking to him about Syria and trying to make the big play and what do you do. And what was it that you were talking about, some of the advice that he gave you, and you, of course, wrote about this. And I thought it was interesting because he said, I love this. This is the teacher aspect that you mentioned about him, that he was telling you, okay, well, you know, first you got to start in Jordan or Lebanon, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's very... I look at Syria a lot like the Spanish Civil War back in the 1930s, where you have the fascists who were like Assad, and then you have all these other ragtag groups. You're not really sure what they're doing. You know, they're all against Assad, but you have ISIS, and you have the Free Syrian Army, and you have all these other groups that are fighting Assad, but they're also kind of rivals with each other, especially ISIS. So it's really confusing over there. You can't get into Syria as an American unless you're one of a handful of people, like maybe CNN or New York Times. Although New York Times also has had some casualties of reporters going there. It's very dangerous for journalists. So he said you'd probably have to go to Lebanon and get across the border somehow, have someone smuggle you across. And that's what he did in Libya. He went to Egypt, and, you know, Gaddafi was also cracking down the media, so he had to sneak into Libya through the Egyptian border. The free, you know, rebels there had, you know, brought him across and smuggled him through the border. So that's probably what I would have had to do.
Yeah.
And it was very expensive to do that, so the money kept me from doing it.
Yeah, exactly. And you see, so in a sense, because of, amazing reporting that he did, and because I've talked to other people as well that had connections to him, and they say that I mean, he was just gung-ho about exactly, I mean, you drilled it down, exactly what he thought that people needed to wake up. And, I mean, what a terrible way to see this end for Jim and for his family, obviously. And when you first saw that video, you know, there's got to be, as I said, the emotions across the board for so many Americans. I mean, this has, talk about waking people up, this has really, really, I think, become the water cooler buzz, because people are feel so awful for his family, can't believe it, you know, now want to move forward and do something. Do you think that this may prompt some people to pay more attention?
Yeah, and unfortunately, it takes really dramatic examples like this to wake people up, because people like Jim knew about ISIS for years. They've been around a very long time. They didn't just appear out of nowhere and take control of Mosul in June. They've been around a long time, and people like him have tried to warn us about this. You know, with his reporting, he said, hey, this is happening here. Okay, I'm watching Entertainment Tonight. But now there's really dramatic examples that make it easy for us to understand this. So that's, I mean, his family is in a lot of really tough times right now. But he would have wanted people to be positive about how they can act on this. Like, he was not a gung-ho war hawk. He was not against Islam. There's been a lot of hate speech out there. You know, after his death, they say ISIS is, you know, shows how terrible Islam is, and we should go and bomb the hell out of them. You know, he didn't think that way, and people shouldn't draw that conclusion from his death. But he would have wanted people to realize this is, you know, there's real problems over there, and we can't just ignore them. We have to get involved somehow. Like, he was really proud of how his reporting in Libya had inspired NATO to intervene. You know, people like him in Libya showed the war, and they said this is a terrible situation, and France and Britain and the U.S. intervened. And that, you know, he was proud of that. He came home and he talked about that. So I'm sure he would want the world, you know, collectively to do something, not just, I mean, it's very complicated what should be done, but he would have wanted the world to take notice and do something about it.
Yeah. The other thing is, going back to his calling and your calling and being in journalism school, I went to J school as well, not where you guys went. I went to Ohio University. And I remember that it was all about the career and the calling and the responsibility when you went through journalism school. But, boy, we have a different world now, Tom, as you know. And I think that his death also highlights that. Where are the good journalism folks? Where are the people that are reporting what's happening underneath the rocks? And perhaps this will also, because we're seeing the shape that some newspapers are in and that kind of stuff, and maybe that'll bring some of that back, do you think?
I don't know about the domestic journalism here in the U.S., but I think it should definitely give more weight to the freelancers, because Jim is one of 160 news providers who have been killed since the start of the Syrian civil war in 2011. You know, and most of them are from Syria. Most of them are freelancers. You know, there's the people who represent major news groups represent a very, very small portion, and an even smaller portion of that come from the United States. You know, there has not been a lot of international coverage of this. There hasn't been, you know, a lot of, you know, the freelancers really are the troops on the ground for the media. You know, they're supposed to, you know, the media is supposed to be neutral on a battlefield. This should, you know, generate a discussion of how, you know, we have the Red Cross, we have some kind of Geneva Code. Reporters should be given greater weight, you know, in a conflict zone. Because I, personally, if I was a Middle Eastern radical, I would not want to kill a reporter. That might actually raise awareness about the troubles in the Middle East, and maybe my relatives would be in better shape because there'd be more international aid. And I think that people should recognize journalists are the good guys. We are there to expose injustice. And freelancers should be given greater weight. You know, some freelancers have trouble getting people on the phone and being taken seriously, but they work incredibly low pay for, you know, I didn't go to Syria because it would have been almost impossibly expensive for me to go. Jim was very grateful that he had the Global Post to support him. So maybe news groups like the Global Post and Agence France, AFP, well, who also supported him in Syria, will treat freelancers better and take them more seriously.
Yeah, well said, Tom. Thanks so much. You can catch the stuff, U.S. News and World Report. Tom Risen, thanks. We appreciate you coming on.
Thanks.
30dayfoodsupply.com, you can now purchase a one-of-a-kind product not available anywhere else, a meatless burger dry mix in four delicious flavors. With our new Oregon Trail Foods vegan burgers, all you do is add water and fry. They need no refrigeration. They're packaged in Mylar bags with an oxygen absorber for a long shelf life. They're non-GMO. They're gluten, soy, nut, and chemical-free, but they're loaded with flavor and a good source of carbs and protein, yet low in sodium. Flavors include Italian, spicy Mexican, six vegetable, and black bean olive. Go to 30dayfoodsupply.com or call 541-229-0010 and order today. Eat them every day, take them camping, or save them for an emergency. Check them out at 30dayfoodsupply.com and click on the vegan burger icon. That's 30dayfoodsupply.com, where all of our products are produced in Oregon by Oregon Trail Foods. 30dayfoodsupply.com.
Summertime is save big time at Herbal Healer Academy. Long-term customers know summer is the time to stock up at herbalhealer.com. And for new customers, welcome to the web's best place to save on vitamins, minerals, and more. Log on for summer specials, including all sizes of colloidal silver, colloidal minerals, and intestinal freedom on sale. Choose from Herbal Healer's great variety of weight loss products like apple cider vinegar, Hoodia, and Metabolic Complex and Pro-Metabolic, all on sale now. Also, the anti-parasite Intestinal Freedom and Wormwood Plus Complex, plus Stevia Liquid Sweetener and the Super Enzymes, all on sale for summer at herbalhealer.com. As always, we offer certificate correspondence courses in natural medicine. Enjoy same-day shipping and free online newsletter. Log on now to herbalhealer.com and look for summer specials to save big with our nation's leader in supplying quality natural medicine and education since 1988. Herbal Healer Academy.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com, enhancing health and privacy.
Hi, I'm Phil Grandy from Phil's Gang. If you've been nervous about investing in the current stock market, then you need to listen up. Phil's Gang is having a free webinar on Saturday, September 13th. That's going to be at noon Eastern Time. You're going to learn how to invest in this type of market. Not just the stock market, but you're going to be investing in yourself. Don't miss it. To sign up, go to LearnStocksForFree.com. That's LearnStocksForFree.com or call 877-600-4264.
Couple of turns, laps, if you will, for this hour of America Tonight. How about that? Interesting to talk to somebody who is very close friends with James Foley, which now has started the firestorm over the Islamic State and what they're doing to people, other people as well, in Iraq and what they did in the past in Syria, where there wasn't as much of a kick up, and now people are seeing it, especially because of Foley. So many of you had things to continue to say about that, and without further ado, let's quickly head to the mailbag. With the mail in, here we had to give him the night off. He lost his voice, so we had to give him the night off. So our first email is from Jake in Austin. He emails us all the time, and Jake said, Kate, I couldn't even bring myself, really. Somebody had sent me some link and told me where the shot was of Foley, and I could not watch it. It was just too awful. I couldn't do it. I couldn't bring myself to do it. I hope that they do anything they can, meaning anybody in any elite force to really just kill these guys off, because there's nothing else you can do. The pressure should be on all the way across the board, and the president needs to step up, forget invisible lines and everything else. It's just ridiculous now. All right, here's another one. This one is from Bob, saying pretty much the same thing. What is going to happen with these people that are recruiting in the Islamic State? It seems to me they're just getting more and more powerful, but you cannot defeat the most powerful army on the face of the earth. And I still believe the United States has a lot of that juice left, especially when it comes to tactically and strategically our special forces. I would put our special forces up against these guys any day of the week. So I say whatever is happening in the shadows needs to continue to happen, and they need to ramp it up and have others involved, which I mentioned this before. That's what it's certainly looking like. This Task Force Black, which is the elite British guys in the U.S. Special Forces, that's the whole idea, to stomp out ISIS, because you've got these ISIS guys who are rampaging their way around Iraq and are pretty much a more, I think, formidable enemy even than Al-Qaeda and the Al-Qaeda days in Iraq. Because they don't seem to care what they do. Whoever gets in their wake, they're willing to do the most heinous things, and that's the kind of things that we're learning about. Not that Al-Qaeda didn't do similar things, but strapping up kids with bombs and all that other sort of stuff and the recruiting. But they have more money, they have that much more manpower, and they've got sophisticated kinds of military methods, stuff that they adopted from the Chechens. So imagine what happens. I mean, they have to be knocked out. They have to be. Right, I'm going to take one more along those lines, and because we got just an avalanche of mail. Ben says, Kate, enjoy the show. You're dead on right about ISIS. No matter what, we have to do, the United States and others, whatever is possible to eliminate them. If you look at any of the photos, besides what happened to that poor Foley, if you look at any of the photos of the Islamic State and how they proceed in these towns, wrapped up in black, marching along with their guns, and then pretty much threatening the people that you will or you won't exist, and not worrying about what any of the repercussions are. They don't seem to be concerned at all and keep threatening to do worse things. If you believe that what's coming out from perhaps the mouths of these fighters, then you know that this is going to be tough, because they fight more than dirty, and they have money. And money is the key, because if you have money, you can get more ammunition, you can get more sophisticated weaponry, and you can get the backup, you can get the young people to fight for you, and that's what they have. They have great fighting skills by all accounts. All right, so pretty much we're in agreement there. Anybody say, no, we got to leave it alone? I think nobody's saying that. As far as full-on, full-force invading Iraq, going back in, surging, no, nobody is saying that. Crushing them a different way, but crushing them nonetheless. And it has to be, I think, with the right kind of strategy and the right kind of people on board. All right, here's one from Melissa, who says, Kate, I wanted to call the show the other day, but frankly, I was too exhausted. I was helping a friend out in Napa who was pretty shook up about the earthquake. I heard you mention a figure that was like $4 billion. They think it might even be more because of what happened with the wineries. So some of these wineries who were in their harvest season at least would temporarily have to close, because it is a business. They have to sell wine. People come in. Napa's a big deal for that. Their tourism really centers on the wine business. It'll be interesting to see how quickly they bounce back. I think it'll be, in some cases, pretty darn tough for them. And then what about the people who own the homes who don't have earthquake coverage? People forget about that because of the amount of money you have to pay for earthquake coverage. And then some of their homes will be seen as not inhabitable, and they'll be tagged with these red tags. meaning they are homeless, which is awful. You've got leaks and all kinds of things that are part of the aftermath of this catastrophe. Yeah, I'm glad you called it a catastrophe. 6.1 happened right before 3:30 in the morning on Sunday. Historic buildings crumbling, cracking roads. Certainly there were people injured, power, the water, all that kind of stuff. But then what is the after part? And the after part is what buildings can't you not go back into? What buildings need to have to be shored up? How many people have to get extra coverage as a result of that? So absolutely. It's a terrible timing for a lot of people, too, because Labor Day, the Labor Day weekend is a big one for people to go to Napa because you have extra days and sometimes you lop on a day. And so it's a major travel period in the United States. They say close to 35 million Americans take a trip where it's at least 50 miles from home, and it's very big in Napa. They say a lot of people go. The weather's nice. It's that extra day. Californians do it. So with wineries closed, you know, again, that means people are out not working that day. It means that they're not buying wine. But if all your products fell on the floor, you know, you're stuck. And not every winery suffered the same fate. It just depends which one, you know, which winery. It's kind of like an eeny, meeny, miny, moe situation. All right, this one from Cameron. He says, Kate, I used to live in California. I've never written the show before. I've heard you. I like the show when I can get it. And I'll tell you, I always worried about earthquakes. People sort of talked about them, but I always worried that a big earthquake would happen while I was there. It never happened. We had a few small earthquakes, but you couldn't really feel them. But when I saw the pictures and heard people talk about what happened 25 years ago, it frightened me, and I decided that I wasn't going to stay where I was living in California, which was right there in that San Francisco Bay Area. Beautiful, but I think that that fault line could be ready to go. Of course, who knows? Well, you know, they have, there's always the speculation. They're always looking at the U.S. Geological Survey. They're always looking at what's happening along those fault lines, but there's no way to predict it. I mean, of course not. Because it's the unknowable. You don't know. You just have no idea, you know, if there is going to be a big one or if it's 1,000 years away or who knows. But anytime there is a serious earthquake, enough that you feel it, the conversation starts up again where people start to speculate on when will the big one hit California in the north, the south, or where will it hit. All right, thanks to everybody who sent emails. Remember, 24/7, baby, you can get in touch with us. AmericaTonight.net. Click on contact and bada bing, you are in like that.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.